जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग विथ टेक्स्ट 4 एंड 5 इन द 10th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता द ऑपुलेंस ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं च भयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विधाः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमः शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं च भयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विधाः प्लीज चांट बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह कं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः दानं यशो यशः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोह नित्यं दमग्दमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां एव पृथग्विधाः लेडीस ज्ञानम् असम्मोह
क्षमा सत्यं
दमा दमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावो भयं चाभयमेव च हंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विधाः. So we read the word for word meaning yesterday. We'll only read the translation. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvashe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. To briefly recapitulate what we were discussing yesterday, we are in the 10th chapter, which is a continuation of the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter has repeatedly stressed the importance of pure devotional service. It has talked about how one can become a pure devotee. And in pursuance of that objective, Krishna in this 10th chapter will be discussing his own opulences, his majesty, and how this majestic feature of his can be understood or is manifested within this material world. By understanding this display of Krishna's opulences, it can increase our understanding and love of Krishna. It can increase our bhakti. This is the purpose for Krishna speaking about his own opulences. We should know that Krishna doesn't speak out of a sense of false ego. When human beings praise themselves and their glories, supposed glories, then we can understand that is because of false ego. But Krishna is beyond false ego. He is simply stating the truth, the fact. The first few verses, specifically the 7 verses, talk about how it is impossible for even the great demigods and sages to understand Krishna. And then here, he is talking about how he is the origin of all qualities in this world. Specifically in text numbers 4 and 5, Krishna has mentioned 20 qualities. And he says, all of these qualities come from me. We read out in the translation the list of these qualities. And yesterday we also analyzed that some of these qualities are in the mode of goodness, some of these are in the mode of ignorance, and some could be either in goodness, passion or ignorance, depending on the mentality in which that action is, in which one performs some action. So yesterday we spoke about the first two qualities, buddhi, that is intelligence, and jnanam, or knowledge. The purport is fairly long, so we did not read the whole purport, but rather for each quality we'll just read the relevant portion of the purport and then talk a little bit about it and go on to the next quality as described in the purport, talk a little bit about it and so on. Probably we will not finish today, so we will continue, looks like, tomorrow. So now we're in the third quality, that is asammoha. Asammoha means freedom from doubt. So we'll read the third paragraph in the purport. Just the beginning of that, that pertains to asammoha. So have you got it in the purport? Okay. So I'll read the purport. Quote, asammoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. So this is very important. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was explaining, as we heard yesterday, that buddhi, jnana and asammoha, intelligence, knowledge and freedom from doubt, are all necessary aspects of cultivating knowledge in this world. But, surprising as it may sound, these three elements in and of themselves are not the cause of giving knowledge of Krishna. It is Krishna alone who gives that. Because these three qualities in and of themselves come from the sattva-guna, the mode of goodness, which is material. And something material cannot produce something spiritual. Knowledge about Krishna is spiritual because Krishna is all spiritual. So freedom from doubt in connection to Krishna is necessary. When there is doubt, there can be no faith. When there is no faith, there is no question of service. When there is no service, there is no question of developing love of God. When there is no love of God, life is futile. So therefore, in order to keep ourselves fixed on the path of spiritual life, one has to become faithful. One has to become free from doubt. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ashraddhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapya Mam Nivartante Mrityu Sansar Vartmani. He says, my dear Arjuna, one who is Ashraddhana, or those who are, it's plural, so those who are faithless. Shraddhana means those who are faithful. Ashraddha Dhana means the opposite. So for those who are not faithful, dharmasyasya, about this path of Bhagavad Dharma that I have been speaking about, they do not attain perfection. Aprapyamam, they don't attain me, but rather they attain the repeated birth and death in this world. Aprapyamam, they don't have, not having attained me, nivartanti, they return again. Mrityu sansara vartmani, they come back on the path of birth and death in this world. So this is the destination of one who doesn't have faith. This is the destination of one whose heart is full of doubts. So freeing oneself from doubt is very important. Again, in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Krishna has said, Agnyaschashraddha dhanascha sanshayatma vinashyati nayam loko sthinaparo na sukham sanshayatmanaha. He says, for a sanshayatma, sanshay means doubt, atma means person. So a doubtful person, a doubting Thomas, is called a sanshayatma. So he says, agnyas cha ashraddha dhanascha sanshayatma. So for a doubtful person who is ignorant and not faithful, what is the result? What is his destination? Vinashyati. He is destroyed. He cannot meet with success. What is the meaning of destruction? Destruction means that one cannot attain success in life, which is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Rather, one is always forced to transmigrate in this material world, in different species of life. And he says, na sukham, nayam loko sthinaparo, na ayam loko, neither in this birth, na paraha, nor in the next birth, sukham. He neither attains happiness in this life, nor in the next life. Sanshayatma. So such a doubting soul cannot be happy now, he cannot be happy in the future. So this is the result of being doubtful. So long as we are in contact with the material nature, doubts are natural. It is the nature of the living entity that is conditioned by material nature to be doubtful. This is what Maya does. Maya is always making us doubtful of the reality and faithful about the illusion. So we are very faithful that the illusion presented by Maya is real. It appears so real. So being doubtful about the scripture means having complete faith in your senses. Being free from doubt that the senses are all-powerful and correct. That what the senses tell us is the truth. So therefore one has to hear the voice of the scripture repeatedly, as Prabhupada is saying here. Freedom from doubt and delusion can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. That means one must hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita and so on regularly. One must read these transcendental literatures. Only by this process of hearing can one actually become free from doubt. One becomes strong in the philosophy and the understanding. So this is very crucial. Every devotee who wants to become asammoha, free from doubt, must regularly attend classes, must read carefully Srila Prabhupada's books. And what is the result? Prabhupada says, slowly but surely becomes free from bewilderment. At the same time, he cautions, nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. So when we hear the philosophy, we obtain transcendental knowledge. Again in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Tasmad agyana sambhutam. Agyana sambhutam. Agyana means that it is ignorance. Sambhutam means born of. Hritstham jnana sinatmanaha. Sanchitvainam Sanshayam Yogam Atishthotishtha Bharata. So he says that this sanshaya or this doubt is ajnana sambhutam. It is born out of ignorance. And it is situated in the heart, hritstham. So therefore this must be destroyed. Chitva enam. Chitva means to cut, to destroy. So O Arjuna, the doubt in your heart is born out of the ignorance that is there. So cut, chitva enam, cut this ignorance with asina, with a sword, with a weapon of what? Of jnana. And therefore atishtha, and situate yourself rightly, uttishtha, rise and fight. Atishtotishtha bharata. So therefore, O dear Arjuna, knowledge of transcendence is very important. So this is an important lesson for us. Doubts are compared to demons. And these demons have to be slain with the weapon or the sword of knowledge. Jnanasina. Asina means a sword or a knowledge. So therefore, by regularly hearing the philosophy day in and day out, every day, it should be a daily practice that we absorb our intellect, our consciousness in hearing the philosophy. Then the doubts go away, the faith and conviction becomes strong. Then we become determined. Then our intelligence increases, our knowledge increases. Buddhi, jnanam, asammoha. All these three are interconnected. And when we become faithful, then everything is nice. Yomam eva masammodho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Gita then, that one who understands me as the Purushottama, as a supreme person, with faith, what happens to him? Sa sarvavid. One should understand that he knows everything. There is nothing left for him to know. He is the most intelligent person, and therefore, sarva bhavena bharata. Then he begins to serve me with full devotion, O Arjuna. So by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and by studying these literatures as presented by Srila Prabhupada, then we become staunchly faithful. And with this understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrendering to Him and serving Him and loving Him is the path of perfection, the only path, then we become fixed in His loving service. That is the perfection of life. So this freedom from doubt is something very, very important. Doubt can be very difficult. I am sure all of us at some time or the other are always plagued by some doubt somewhere. Doubt about somebody, doubt about something, doubt about some philosophy, doubt about something. And you know that doubt can make you very restless. It can destroy your peace of mind. So therefore it is important that we should settle this. Sometimes the Lord is very merciful. No, actually He is merciful all the time. But His mercy manifests in a certain way sometimes to teach His devotees and make them faithful. He may exhibit some tremendous opulence to remove our doubts. When Lord Ram was traveling with Lakshman looking for Sita, they happened to come to the now well-known Kishkindha forest in South India. They had been told by a demon, Kabandha, who actually was earlier a heavenly being who had been cursed to become a demon for some offense he had committed. Just prior to Kabandha's death, he informed Lord Ram that you go to Kishkindha Kshetra and there you will find Hanuman and Sugriv. Sugriv is a very powerful monkey warrior. He has been driven away from his kingdom by his own brother Vali. Strike a pact, make an alliance with Sugriva, and he will help you to find Sita. So both of you are needy. He needs his kingdom back, and you need your wife back. So Lord Ram went, and as they entered Kishkindha, Hanuman spotted them. Sugriv became very worried. These are the messengers of Bali. And then ultimately Hanuman went there. He escorted, or rather he carried Lord Ram and Lakshman, and he took them to where Sugriva was on the Rishyamukha mountain, an area where he was protected because there was a curse on Vali that he could not enter these precincts. And a talk of friendship began between Lord Ram and Sugriv. And Sugriv promised help. Yes, I will help you to bring back your wife. And will you help me to get my kingdom back? And Lord Ram assured him. But Sugriva was doubtful. Vali is so powerful, and some instances of Vali's power have been given, that he even captured Ravana like a little child. He held him in the armpits. He held his neck in his armpits and he flew all around the globe. That is how powerful Vali was. So Sugriva was doubtful. He said, well, I have all respect for you and you seem very powerful, no doubt. But Vali is extremely powerful, so I don't know whether you will be able to defeat him. So then, what could be done to establish faith in Sugriva? So then Sugriva said, all right. See, there was a demon called Dundubhi who had been killed by Vali. And his carcass is lying just around the corner. And when Vali kicked him, he flew many, many miles and he killed him there. So let us see if we can move that carcass of Dundubhi. So Lord Ram went there, and just with the tip of his toe and a casual flick of the toe, he threw that carcass many, many miles away. So Sugriva was impressed, but his doubt was not fully gone. He applied his mundane intelligence. What spoils faith, what destroys faith, is use of mundane intelligence, because we use our material calculations. So he said, well, it's a great achievement, no doubt. But you see, when Vali threw away Dundubhi, Dundubhi was alive, fleshy, full of vigor. His body was filled out. Now, all that flesh has decayed, and there's nothing left here, so the weight has reduced. So therefore, your flicking away the carcass of Dundubhi isn't such a great achievement really, because Vali did something that was much more powerful. But if you penetrate these trees here, these sal trees that are here, then I can understand that you are powerful enough to fulfill your promise that you will return my kingdom to me. So Lord Ram took out his bow from his quiver, took out his arrow, fixed it to his bow, and shot an arrow into the first sal tree. Sal is a special kind of tree, very majestic. So the arrow went through the first tree into the second, through the second into the third, and in this way it crossed all the seven trees, one after the other, crossed them, and then went down into the earth to the lower planets, to Patala Loka. It came back through the earth and went back into Ram's quiver. Then Sugriva was satisfied. Yes, now I have full faith that you have that power. So Sugriva turned out to be later a great ally for Lord Ram. So we need not think that the Lord has to demonstrate something like that to build our faith. We need not be like that. But at the same time, when a devotee becomes a little doubtful, Krishna is very merciful. He makes some arrangement for that doubt to disappear somehow or other. Sometimes Krishna's arrangement is dangerous, is a cause of some pain. He makes us become faithful in a roundabout way. When we don't become faithful in a straightforward way, Krishna is like a loving parent who just tweaks the ear. It's a little painful. The devotee learns the lesson. But one who is simple learns it the easy way, just accepts from the words of the scripture and follows sincerely.
The problem with following the scriptures is that it appears to contradict what the senses tell us. About the going to the moon, it has been such a problem in ISKCON in the early days when Prabhupada spoke about it. There were some devotees who probably left the movement because they couldn't understand how what Prabhupada said about going to the moon was possible. When Haridas Thakur was traveling, he came to the house of Govardhan and Hiranya Mazumdar, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. They were Vaishnavas and they welcomed Haridas Thakur and organized a satsang or a program for him, a house program. And they invited many distinguished people in the locality to attend that satsang. And as they gathered there, Govardhan Mazumdar and Hiranya Mazumdar introduced Haridas Thakur and they said, "Here is a great saint. He is called Namacharya because he chants 300,000 names every day of Krishna." So everyone was astounded. "Oh, really?" Then amongst themselves, everybody started talking about the glories of the holy name of Krishna. Somebody said, "Well, the holy name of Krishna is so strong that it can destroy our sins." Someone said, "The holy name is so pure and so powerful that it can deliver us from material bondage." Someone said, "The holy name, the real fruit is it can give us liberation." In this way, they were all giving their opinions. Then Haridas Thakur said, "My dear friends, actually that is not the real fruit of the holy name. Liberation from material bondage and freedom from sinful activity are simply two concomitant byproducts of chanting the holy name. The real fruit of chanting the holy name is to get Krishna prema or love of Krishna, love of Godhead. These other things are easily obtained. Even liberation is obtained simply by the dim reflection of the holy name, not even the pure holy name." And this is the verdict of the scriptures. And Haridas Thakur spoke a little bit about that. All the members of the assembly were hearing in rapt attention. They were very happy to hear this exposition, this very wonderful presentation of Nama Tattva, the truth of the holy name. But there was one doubtful person there. He was a Brahmin by birth. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. And he was from an aristocratic background, very intelligent, very scholarly, very handsome, very qualified in every way. And he spoke up and he said, "Just hear the words of this emotional, sentimental devotee. We understand from scripture that after many, many lifetimes of performing austerities, following vows, studying the scriptures, cultivating knowledge and so on, one comes to the point of liberation. Many times, even after many lifetimes of doing this, one may not get liberation." And here, this person is saying that simply by the abhas or the reflection of the holy name, one can get liberated so easily. So Haridas Thakur said, "My dear friend, this is indeed the verdict of the scripture. Please do not have doubt. Be faithful." And Haridas Thakur went on to speak a little more. At that time, Gopal Chakravarti very proudly spoke and said, "If it is not true that only by the dim reflection of the holy name one can get liberation, then I will cut off your nose." So Haridas Thakur replied very humbly and said, "If it is not true that by the dim reflection of the holy name one can get liberation, then I will cut off my own nose." So after this exchange, there was a tumultuous roar in the audience because everyone was very offended by the way in which Gopal Chakravarti behaved with Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was a great Vaishnava, so he was very humble. He didn't accept it as an offense. But Govardhan Mazumdar, Hiranya Mazumdar and the others very rightly took it as a very important transgression. And immediately they removed him from his service, from their service. This Gopal Chakravarti was a tax collector on behalf of these two gentlemen. And immediately he was dismissed from service and asked to leave the room and go away. And Gopal Chakravarti, haughty as he was, walked out of the room in a huff. And shortly thereafter, he contracted leprosy. And his raised nose then fell off. Sometimes in leprosy you get the edges of the fingers and the stubs, the nose, they fall off. So he lost his proud aristocratic nose. And everybody marveled at the spiritual prowess of Haridas Thakur, that he was such a powerful person that when he was offended like this, just see the result. So Gopal Chakravarti, though very scholarly, approached the scriptures from a mundane point of view. So he started calculating and arguing from that point of view. He could not understand the real purport of the scriptures. The scriptures say that the real purport of the scriptures is available to one who has complete faith in the scriptures, in the holy name, in the gurus, and in the Lord himself. So then automatically everything is revealed. But if one is faithless, if one is doubtful, then one cannot even understand the scriptures properly. So an important aspect of becoming free from doubt is to try to give up this attitude of trying to see things by material calculation. Even Duryodhan was seeing things from a material calculation. He figured that Krishna was just one person. And when there was a choice in the battle between Krishna's army and Krishna, Duryodhan happily chose Krishna's army and Arjuna happily chose Krishna. Because Arjuna was seeing from a spiritual point of view, from a devotional point of view, and Duryodhana was seeing from a material point of view. So this is the difference. So one has to, by the process of regular hearing, regular chanting, become free from doubt. And when actually one hears like this, what will be one's condition? It will be like Arjuna at the end of the 18th chapter when he said, Nashto moha smriti labdha pat prasadan mayachyuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and at the very end, after Arjuna has heard Krishna, he says, O my dear Krishna, Nashto moha, now all my moha, my illusion, has been destroyed. Nashta. Smriti labdha, now I have obtained my memory back again. Smriti means memory, labdha means to obtain. So now I remember everything properly. Pat prasadan maya achyuta, O Achyuta, O Krishna, this has been made possible only by your mercy. Sthitah asmi, I am situated now. Gata sandehaha, and all my sandeha, all my doubts, my sanshaya, all are gone now. Karishye vachanam tava, now I will do whatever you say. So this is the result of being free from doubt. That one becomes surrendered, one is willing to do anything that is required from us by Krishna. So Arjuna was doubtful in the beginning of the battle. He was in a dilemma, the mother of all dilemmas, how to fight this battle. But at the end of it, now he was staunch. He was determined. All his doubts were gone because he had heard attentively, submissively from Krishna and faithfully. So therefore now he was in a position to surrender. So when there is doubt, we cannot surrender. Oh, surrendering to Krishna, what if Krishna doesn't protect us? He says like this, but suppose it doesn't happen? So therefore doubt interferes with the process of surrender. There is a little story that comes to mind, but I don't remember the exact context of it, but I think it was some associates of Vibhishan who wanted to cross the ocean, and Vibhishan gave them a small packet and he said, don't open it, but just have faith that this packet will help you get across the ocean. The ocean will part for you. Really? Just this little thing? He said, yes, just have faith that this is the most effective thing. All right, since you say so, we will have complete faith. So they went there on the shore of the ocean parted, lo and behold, and gave them a path to go in between. So they stepped down and they're walking through. And then one of them developed a doubt. What is this little thing because of which the ocean has parted? Let's open it. No, don't open it. He asked us just to have faith and go ahead. No, let's open it. So they opened and they saw just letters, Ram. What? Just Ram? Just with Ram, everything just happened like that. The moment they thought like that, the water came and covered them up. There was a... In one city that I had gone, there was some board somewhere. Somebody had put up this board. It says, faith can move mountains, but fools use dynamite. So faith is very, very important. And that comes when we become free from doubt. And freedom from doubt comes by regularly hearing Krishna Katha, as Prabhupada says here. So that's about the third quality. Now the fourth quality, let's continue with the purport. Quote, Kshama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Unquote. Kshama actually means forgiveness. So why has Srila Prabhupada mentioned tolerance here? Any suggestions? Yes, correct. Because without tolerance, you cannot forgive. You cannot be forgiving by nature if you are not tolerant. An intolerant person can never forgive. And generally in this world, people are very intolerant. Somebody was saying, I overheard this, he said, we go to God for getting something and then we forget. We go for getting, and then we forget. We forget what God gives us. We forget to be grateful. And God comes to us for giving, and then when we forget, He forgives. So we forget and God forgives. So Krishna's quality is forgiving, and therefore the pure devotees also become very forgiving by nature, and they're very tolerant. Krishna is very much merciful towards His devotees, and He doesn't take seriously the offenses of His devotees. Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktira Alpaseva Bahukorimani, that if a devotee serves Krishna even a little bit, Krishna considers it very great. And if the devotee offends Him, He considers it very insignificant. This is Krishna's quality. And Krishna's devotees also acquire these same qualities. We see in the life of Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, very severely whipped, lashed. The soldiers who whipped him did it with all their might, and they were stout and strong. But Haridas Thakur, being completely absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, didn't feel the pain. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took the blows himself. Haridas Thakur was constantly absorbed in the holy name, and in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that all the while he was praying to the Lord, pleading with the Lord to forgive these people who were beating him. And the Qazi, the Muslim priest who was responsible for ordering this to happen, and Haridas Thakur was just praying to Krishna that he may please forgive Haridas Thakur bore no ill will, no rancor towards these soldiers. And when 22 marketplaces, when the beating was over in these places, the soldiers were perplexed. They said any normal person would have died after this beating even in 2 or 3 places. And here we have beaten Haridas Thakur with all our might in 22 marketplaces and still he survives. And what to speak of surviving, he's strong and he doesn't show any discomfort on his face. So now if we go back to the Nawab, to the king and to the Qazi, they will think that we have not done our duty properly and they will punish us with death. So we will be severely punished. So the soldiers became very fearful. Haridas Thakur understood. And therefore, what to speak of forgiving them and tolerating their offenses, he thought, what is the use if by my living somebody else is going to be inconvenienced, if somebody else is going to suffer? So he sat in a trance and he stopped breathing. When the soldiers understood or realized that he had stopped breathing, they thought he was dead. So they went back happily, because now their problem was solved. They went back to the Nawab and said that Haridas Thakur has died. So the Nawab said, all right, now give him a proper burial, because after all he is a Muslim, although he is chanting the Hindu names, but he is a Muslim. So the Qazi said, no, he has left the Muslim faith and therefore he doesn't deserve the liberation that a Muslim will get when he's buried. So like the Hindus, let him be thrown in the Ganges river and then carry away to damnation. Let the waters carry him away. So then the soldiers did that. But when they tried to move Haridas Thakur, his body was so heavy because Krishna himself entered Haridas Thakur's body. And he became heavier than the heaviest. And they could not move the body. Finally, Haridas Thakur allowed himself to be moved. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that just like when Hanuman went to burn Lanka, Indrajit, the son of Ravana, he came forward to capture him. Hanuman had caused devastation, havoc in Lanka. He had killed many, many soldiers and many powerful generals. And even Indrajit was unable to do anything. But Indrajit had one weapon, the Brahmastra, which was given by Brahma. Now Hanuman thought that if, of course, I can easily counteract this Brahmastra, but that will mean an offense to Brahma. It will bring down Brahma's prestige, because Brahma's name is affected here. In any case, if I allow myself to be caught, then I will get a chance to see Ravana. I will see who is this man who is actually responsible for kidnapping Sita Devi. So he allowed himself to be caught. So Vrindavan Das Thakur said, similarly, Haridas Thakur allowed himself to be caught, or rather to be thrown into the river, and to go through this whole torture of being beaten in all these marketplaces, just to show the power of chanting of the holy names, and to exhibit these wonderful qualities of forgiveness, tolerance, and so on that a devotee has. Because if these great devotees didn't exhibit these qualities, what kind of examples would be there for the world at large to follow and emulate? Because there are such examples even in recent times, we draw inspiration. Surely none of us are carried in 22 marketplaces and beaten. So in our much smaller, insignificant trials and tribulations, surely we can practice tolerance and forgiveness. Prabhupada is saying here that one should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. The offenses committed against Haridas Thakur were certainly not minor. They were most major. But Haridas Thakur still forgave them. He did not bear any ill will. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu, when he was physically attacked by Madhai, he didn't offer a word of protest. Word went very rapidly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came there in a great Hari. And he was angry. His eyes were like red hot burning coals. And he immediately invoked his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Madhai. But Nityananda Prabhu fell at his feet and begged him. He said, "Your avatar is not to kill the body. It is to kill the demoniac propensities. If you do not forgive, and you do not shower your mercy on these people, Jagai and Madhai, then how will the world be delivered? How will the world come to know about the glory of your mercy?" So Mahaprabhu was very touched. And he said, "Because Nityananda Prabhu has forgiven you, therefore I have no independent power to punish you." So again, it shows us how important it is for devotees to cultivate these qualities in our day-to-day life. So it's already 6 o'clock. Somehow we've only done 2 qualities. So we'll continue more tomorrow. So we've discussed freedom from doubt, asammoha, and the second one is kshama, or tolerance and forgiveness. So we'll stop here for today. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. The question is that we may try reading, but how does one absorb the consciousness in the reading or hearing in a better way so that we can actually internalize it rather than just making it an external activity? Prabhupada called it submissive oral reception. He didn't just say listen. He defined the word hearing as submissive oral reception. That means one has to submissively hear, one has to devotedly hear, one has to faithfully hear. So the attitude of hearing or reading is important. That is what will actually bring the faith. So if one hears, and Prabhupada says here, therefore, everything should be accepted with care and with caution. But one should also carefully hear. If one executes one's various activities in devotional service with great care and devotion and sincerity, then the results will come very quickly. So similarly with the most important activity of hearing Krishna Katha, which includes reading Prabhupada's books also, because Prabhupada is speaking and we are hearing, we should be very attentive and careful. Then that will give us freedom from doubt very soon. Yes, you had a question? Okay. Yes, Mataji. Yes, Haridas Thakur, the question is that minor offenses of others is a very relative term, but is there any doubt when you hear about Haridas Thakur and the offense performed to him? So, would by any calculation, would that be considered minor?
No.
So if Haridas Thakur could forgive such an offense, then we can surely practice forgiving others for smaller things. That is the idea. Any other questions? Yeah. What is the difference between Shraddha and Vishwas? Shraddha Shabda Vishwas Kahe Sudridhanishchaye Krishne Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoye. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami has defined what is Shraddha. Loosely speaking, both Shraddha and Vishwas imply faith. But Shraddha is a little something more. Vishwas, you could say, is the belief or the conviction. So that belief, which involves sudrita nishchaya, a strong conviction that simply by serving Krishna alone, all objectives are fulfilled, that is called Shraddha. that is faith. So faith is, or Shraddha is, strong vishwas, strong belief, a strong conviction, sudrida nishchaya. Any other question or comment? Yes, Mother. Yes, Mataji has given the example, quoting Nityananda Prabhu's forgiving Madhai. That basically, when the small child is sitting in the lap of the mother or father and commits some so-called offense, the parent doesn't take it as an offense. Just takes it as some childish activity and doesn't take it very seriously. So also the Lord. Yes. The question is that it was mentioned that at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that his illusion is dispelled. But yet we find in the Mahabharata that after the battle, or during the battle, when Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, was killed, when Arjuna was lamenting, and similarly Yudhishthira and his brothers were also lamenting at the end of the battle when Krishna departed. Is it? Is that a question? Oh, I see. Okay. So Yudhishthira was chastising Arjuna because he could not kill Karna. Well, in any case, these are all transcendental personalities. We should know that the Pandavas are actually eternal associates of Krishna. They are not ordinary persons. They are part of Krishna's traveling drama party. Wherever Krishna goes to different universes and performs his pastimes, his question is about the sorrow that Arjuna displayed when Abhimanyu died. And he said, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has said that now my illusion is gone, and so on. Here he is showing, it appears that he is showing some illusion. So the answer is that Arjuna, of course, is not an ordinary person. None of the Pandavas are. They are eternal associates. Wherever Krishna appears in any of the universes in the material creation, these Pandavas are also there. And they play different roles. They participate in the Lord's Leelas. And they play whatever roles are required according to the context, according to the script. But because they are in Yoga Maya, they don't necessarily know that they are play acting. They are under the control of Yoga Maya, and therefore they play their roles most faithfully. Krishna demonstrates his pastimes. He increases the love of his devotees, sends messages out to all of us, gives us subject matter for hearing and chanting. And by seeing these examples, we also become inspired. So Arjuna is playing the role of an ordinary Kshatriya. And being a Kshatriya is not an easy job. In fact, when they were in the forest, the Pandavas, in the 13 years of exile, and when Yudhishthira Maharaj seemed to be contented with the way they were living, and Bhima was gnashing his teeth, impatiently waiting, when will the time come when we will take revenge and get our kingdom back? And Draupadi began to bemoan her own fate, And she says there is no fate worse in this world than to be a Kshatriya. So you just look at these Brahmanas, they are so happy. Living in the forest, they don't have a kingdom, they don't have to worry about insult, dishonor, property. They're just here chanting, hearing, and we Kshatriyas, we have to worry about fighting for battle, for honor and for kingdom and all this. So that was her point. So as a Kshatriya, they had to go through the motions. When you fight a battle, there is loss, you lose your dear ones. And it is natural that you are not inhuman. So therefore, you're, as a human being, he was exhibiting these emotions, because without that he could not have fought. Had Arjuna been not angry, would he have fought? Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, we fight? We can't chant Hare Krishna, be happy, I'll shoot an arrow. We can't do like that. So when you're in that mood, he's in that mood of fierce fighting and anger. And such sorrow was a stimulus for him to fight more. Just like the disrobing and the insult to Draupadi was a tremendous stimulus to Bhima to fight. And this is arranged by Krishna, because if it wasn't for that, what would be the reason for the Pandavas to fight, and how would then the demonic elements be destroyed? Krishna could have done it on his own, but he wanted to use his devotees as instruments to fulfill his purpose, because he wants the devotees to be glorified. He wants the devotees to get the credit. So these are little things arranged by Krishna in this whole drama to provoke, to inspire, induce the Pandavas to fight even more fiercely on his behalf. So because this is all a transcendental pastime going on here on the part of the Pandavas, who are just like little parts of Krishna's, like chess player, you know, pieces. They're play acting Krishna's will. And also we should know that Abhimanyu was a devotee. So when devotees depart, we are also sorry, because we lose their association. So the sorrow is not on mundane grounds, but it's on spiritual grounds. Because as Ramananda Rai replied to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that there is no greater sorrow in life than being without the association of devotees. One last question, if anyone has. Okay, yes, one last question, yeah. When times are difficult, it becomes difficult to forgive someone. Yes, no doubt, none of these things are easy. Krishna never says here, neither does Prabhupada say, that it's the easiest thing in the world to forgive. He never says that. But neither is becoming a pure devotee the easiest thing in the world. The best things in life, you have to work for it. You have to strive for it. It's not easy. You have to do it. You have to put in the effort.
How can we get this quality if Krishna does not use everything here, but I do all these qualities?
The question is that how can we get all these qualities if Krishna doesn't give? Yes, but we must deserve and then get. Krishna wants to see how much we are striving. It's not that we can demand that I have done this much sadhana, how come you still haven't given it to me? We cannot say that. But Krishna wants to see at least a spark of sincerity, a spark of endeavor on our part. Then Krishna will give unlimitedly and disproportionately more than what we deserve. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll continue with the other qualities tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gaur Premanande.